This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we're making tabbouleh with Live It In The Kitchen, and Alessandro Soracha joins us to sing a winter classic, O Holy Night.
And we have much more to share. Stay with us. Good morning and welcome to the first day of winter. Do you know what that means?
Cold?
Yes, you're right. It does mean cold, but that means we're 10 days away from the end of the year. 10 days. Can you believe that?
Wow, it flew by. 2022.
Wow, it's incredible.
It's hard to believe. You know, 2023 is upon us, friends. Time to start thinking about New Year's resolutions. Mm-hmm. The end of the year is such a great time for reflection, isn't it? It's a great time to soak in God's blessings and to think about what He's done with us and recognize His amazing goodness in the midst of the challenges that we've faced this year.
You know, that's very true. And we encourage you to start a family tradition. You know, during these last 10 days, just gather around and come up with three different things every day that God did for your family, even as either as a family or even as an individual. Just thank God for what He did for you during the year. And the year is not over yet, so keep your eyes and heart open for more blessings and reflections of His goodness. You know, we hope you're going to be blessed today by our program. And let's begin by taking a look back at this day in history.
On December 21, 1988, Pan Am Flight 103 from London to New York exploded in midair over Lockerbie, Scotland, killing all 243 passengers and 16 crew members aboard, as well as 11 Lockerbie residents on the ground. A bomb hidden inside an audio cassette player detonated in the cargo area when the plane was at an altitude of 31,000 feet. The disaster, which became the subject of Britain's largest criminal investigation, was believed to be an attack against the United States. 189 of the victims were American. Authorities suspected that the bomb was planted on the plane by Islamic terrorists in retaliation for either the 1986 U.S. airstrikes against Libya, in which leader Muammar Gaddafi's young daughter was killed, along with dozens of other people, or a 1988 incident in which the U.S. mistakenly shot down an Iran Air commercial flight over the Persian Gulf, killing 290 people.
You know, either way, it was seen as an act of revenge. You know, things can certainly get ugly when we try to get revenge. We're driven by our emotions, and there's no telling where we may end up. That's why when we are wronged, it's important to remember that God has said in Romans 12:19 that vengeance is His. We can have no better judge, no better advocate, no better lawyer than God Himself. He sees things from every angle and does everything with love, with mercy, and with justice. And His vengeance is one we can trust. No matter what anyone has done to you, friends, submit your case to your Heavenly Father. Believe me, He can work it out.
Amen. Do you like salads, but maybe looking for something to change it up a little bit? Well, this morning, Chef Corey is making one of my favorite recipes.
Oh, yes.
I made it yesterday, actually.
Yes, you did. It was delicious.
Tabbouleh salad. Mm. It's a cold Middle Eastern salad that is sure to delight.
All right.
To start, let's cook the bulgur wheat. We want there to be time for it to cool off before we add it to our cold salad. The bulgur can be substituted with another grain like quinoa or small couscous. Tabbouleh is a fairly dry salad, and the seeds of the tomatoes could make it soupy. Plus, they can get bitter, so get those seeds out before chopping the tomatoes. We prefer to use Roma or plum tomatoes because their flesh-to-seed ratio tends to be higher, but other tomatoes will work too. When using herbs, it's worth the time and effort to remove the stems. They are bitter and woody and not very appetizing. Now, if this is not being served the same day, the dressing ingredients can be added to the bulgur ahead of time to marinate. The flavor of extra virgin olive oil can be overwhelming, so we recommend a light, pure olive oil instead. Just before serving, add the veggie garnishes. This is Chef Corey, and you can never be too inventive.
Have you ever received a love letter? And not just an email, but a handwritten letter. Why are so many paintings featuring love letters? Neil Schofield looks into a famous painting from the Rijksmuseum to help us discover the keys to reading the greatest love letter in history.
Have you ever received a love letter? I don't mean an email or a Facebook message. I mean a real one. A letter handwritten and posted or hand-delivered. In 1808, Willem Bartel van der Kooi won 2,000 guilders from the Dutch art school for his painting A Lady with a Footman Handing a Letter. Now, that's not a very romantic title, is it? If you visit the Rijksmuseum today, you'll see this painting with the title The Love Letter. In this painting, we see a messenger delivering the letter. The seal is on the back and it's yet to be opened. Anticipation and tension is in the air. Who's this letter from? What will it say? Her heart begins to flutter. All eyes are on this letter as it's handed over to the young lady. So how do you write a love letter? We're told to choose nice paper. Begin with something romantic. Tell the person what you love about them and write about the future you have together. I believe the greatest love letter is the Bible. And it's a pretty long letter. In fact, it's many letters written over thousands of years. Here we find God telling us how much He loves us, sharing the hopes of a wonderful future. He woos us to come to Him in a love response. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. The Bible says God is love. The next time you're feeling a bit down, a bit discouraged, feeling like no one really cares, read the Bible. The Bible is God's love letter to you. A love letter you can read every day.
Do you have friends and family members that don't know about Wake Up With Hope? Well, we want to encourage you to share it with them by visiting our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more, or searching for us on YouTube and checking out our page there as well. Keep up with us. We love to hear from you.
When we return, we have doctor's orders and music.
What did you do to my car?
Well, I was driving in the snow and there's all the salt on the road and it just got all over the car. But if you go in and get cleaning materials, I'll wash your car for you.
Really?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, great. Here you go. I got something.
Apple juice to wash the car?
Well, it says freshly pressed apple juice, 100% juice, no added sugar, and it's made in the United States of America.
Don't you know that all the sugar naturally occurring in there is going to make a sticky mess on your car?
Oh, but there's no added sugar.
Well, this is naturally occurring sugar.
Oh.
So you just go back there and get something proper for me.
Okay. Here you go.
Oh, that's much better. Water's much better. But do you think this little bit of water's going to wash this big old car?
Well, we can try.
Oh.
We'll start with the window.
All right.
Okay, you're ready.
Some things husbands have to put up with here.
I know. Here. Hey, honey, this looks great now.
Well, I don't think so.
No?
No, come and take a look.
Okay. Oh, you're right.
Now you get in there and you get the right quantity of water for me.
All righty.
That's much better, much, much better.
Okay.
Thank you for that. Now stand back there.
All right. You know, many people think that they can drink caffeinated drinks, tea, coffee, and juice all day, and that would be sufficient fluid for them.
Well, you know, the problem with that is that caffeinated drinks actually suck the water out of your system, and the fruit juice has too much sugar, so it'd be much better just to drink plain water.
That's right, and water is a good cleansing agent. Fruit juice, tea, coffee, they're not going to clean you.
And but, you know, the other problem is that thirst is not a good indicator, because people don't drink enough if they just go by thirst.
That's right, you need to drink at least a third more, so it's better to drink by volume. And let's say, have a bottle and drink several bottles a day, or 6 to 8 glasses of water. So here you go, doctor's orders.
Well, I'll drink to that, Doc. That's mighty good stuff.
Yeah.
The story of Jesus' birth is a wondrous story of hope. In it, we find that a Savior, the Messiah, Jesus, was born as a babe in a manger to a virgin mother. He came to save us.
Alessandro Soraci sings, O Holy Night, as she reminds us that His birth was the beginning of salvation to those who believe.
Oh, that was beautiful. Amen. Thank you.
If you're enjoying today's program like we are, please share it with your friends. Our website is hopetv.org/wakeup. We now have to take a short break, but when we return, Pastor John Bradshaw from It Is Written will share an eye-opening message with us from the Bible. Welcome back to our morning program. How are you enjoying our program this morning? Send us a greeting on Facebook and let us know.
This morning, John Bradshaw from It Is Written is with us here today to share an inspiring message.
Hi there. Hope your day is going great. I'm John Bradshaw from It Is Written. What a privilege I have to be able to spend a few moments with you, and I want to share something that I believe will encourage you and bless you today. In 1983, a 61-year-old man in Australia entered a running race. Nothing too unusual about that. It was a race from Sydney to Melbourne, almost 550 miles. Something a little unusual about that. How many marathons is that? That's, I don't know, 20 or so marathons that just back to back to back to back to back. That's a long way. He appeared at the starting line, a little unorthodox. He had some nylon sort of track pants that he was going to be wearing with holes cut into them for I guess, aeration. Older than most, some people wondered what in the world he was even thinking being there. Some said to him, so, I mean, have you trained for this? What's your preparation been like? Why do you think you can run 550 miles? He said, well, you know, he was a potato farmer, funny enough, a potato farmer. But he said, I've lived on a farm where we had sheep, 2,000-acre farm, and we used to round them up on foot. I'd have to go out there some days and run around the farm to gather up all those sheep. He said, there were times I'd be out there and I would run for 2 or 3 days without a break. He said, this is just a couple of days longer. I figure if I can do that, I can do this. Well, sure. So before the race began, he took out his false teeth because they rattled when he ran. He didn't like that very much. He still lived with his mother, which is, of course, perfectly okay. But I'm just telling you, he was a little out of the ordinary, this guy. So the race began. The other runners, professional athletes, all sort of ran off as professional athletes do. And this fellow, a man named Cliff Young, started shuffling along the road. Now, if you watch him run, and you can find him online, it's not the worst thing you ever did see, but he doesn't look like your typical Kenyan marathon runner. That's for sure. It was a very efficient, economical way to run, but man, he was slow. The other runners left him behind, and people wondered how far last Cliff Young would ultimately finish the race. But a funny old thing happened. The strategy back then was to run for 18 hours, sleep for 6. Run 18, sleep for 6, which I think is quite remarkable. But Cliff Young decided that he would just run, and he would sleep when he felt like he needed to. So even though he started the race a long way back, before very long, he was catching up to the runners ahead and passing them. Cliff Young ended up miles in front. He ended up shattering the race record, and he won the Sydney to Melbourne running race by 10 hours. You know, that's a long way. The 61-year-old amateur running in a race like this for the first time beat the young pros by, well, not a country mile, but by many country miles. So what was the secret to Cliff Young's success? He went on to become a legend, you know. After this, he tried to beat some other record, but I think he got sick. It was maybe a record for running 1,000 miles. Then he wanted to beat the record for running around Australia. That's about 10,000 miles. He got 4,000 miles into it. Can you imagine that? And then his one support crew person got very sick and couldn't carry on. So after running 4,000 miles, Cliff Young had to say, I can't go any further. Had to drop out of his round Australia odyssey. Imagine that, 4,000 miles for virtually nothing. But Cliff Young became a legend. How does a 61-year-old win an ultramarathon against much younger, much more experienced competition? Well, it's not that difficult if you stop and think about it. Cliff Young got in the race and just kept going. He put one foot in front of the other, and he didn't quit. He just kept going. It was a little bit like the tortoise and the hare, I suppose, where the hare stopped or slowed down and the tortoise slowly but surely caught up and eclipsed the hare and won the race. Cliff Young was the hare in the Sydney to Melbourne running race, an ultra marathon. What did he do? I'll tell you again. He put one foot in front of another. Philippians 1 and verse 6 tells us that Christianity, that faith in God, is just a little bit like that. The Bible says, "He who has begun a good work in you is faithful to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Can I say that again? He who has begun a good work in you is faithful to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So who began the work? Jesus began the work. And according to the Bible, He'll keep doing the work. Elsewhere, the prophet Isaiah wrote that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How about that? So if you wait on God, God will strengthen you. And then God will work in you. That's the secret to successful Christianity. It isn't a matter of becoming so good that you don't need God, that you don't need Jesus living His life in you, that you can do it all right now. No, no Christian ever gets to the state that she or he is all right on their own. That would be the absolute opposite of successful Christianity. Instead, at every step, we recognize our complete and utter dependence on Jesus. This principle is throughout the Bible. You've heard the story of Gideon. You read it in the early chapters of the book of Judges. Gideon had an army of 32,000 men. God said, too many, and he whittled it down. 22,000 men left, 10,000 men remained. I mean, when I say left, went home. And Gideon was left with an army of 10,000. He was going to be fighting against a massive army who were like the sand of the sea in number. God said to Gideon, take him down to the water. They got down to the water, and then God separated the men from the boys. At the end of the day, Gideon was left with an army of 300. And God said, okay, Gideon, now you're good to go. Now you are ready to go down and fight that battle and win. Now, if that was you or me, we might have looked at God and said, are you crazy? I hope we wouldn't, but I'm acknowledging the possibility that one or the other of us might have said that. Are you crazy, God? See, God wasn't wanting Gideon to feel like he was going to win in his own strength because of his own might, because of his own power and military skill. No, God wanted Gideon to win a victory, realizing that he, Gideon, was relying on God fully and completely. That's to be our life, to trust in God, to rely on God, and to allow the one who began the work in us to continue the work. Gideon might have said, I can't beat an army like that. And God would have said, no, you just go. I'll do the work. You just attack and I'll do the work. You present yourself. I will do the work. Like Cliff Young, the runner, just put one foot in front of another and give God the opportunity to work. So today, how can you demonstrate faith by putting one foot in front of the other, expecting God to advance you and clear a pathway for you? I don't know the answer to that question. Right now, you might not either, but sometime today, God will give you the opportunity to turn to God and say, you've got this and I'm trusting you. I'll just go forward putting one foot in front of the other. I'll rely on you. You do the work that I could never do. Cliff Young was the unlikely legend. What a guy, 61 years old, winning a race like that. What did he do? He put one foot in front of another. You do the same today and lean on God and trust in Him. You'll see God do great things. Have a great day. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Pastor John.
And thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope today. Now, don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to learn more about what is going on here at Hope Channel.
And be sure to turn in tomorrow morning. Dr. Narita McKibben will share why a good breakfast is so important. Also, Matt and Josie Minicus remind us of the remedy for all of our troubles as they share a musical message and so much more. We can't wait to see you tomorrow. If you enjoyed today's message, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides designed to help you begin or refresh your relationship with Jesus.
Again, that's hope.study. We have no doubt that you'll be blessed and very encouraged. Now, before we go, we have a Bible promise just for you. Today's Bible promise comes from John chapter 8, verse 51. And they are the words of Jesus himself.
He says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who obeys my teaching will never die."
What a faithful promise, friends. Faith that leads to a full surrender and obedience that will reap, that will result in the assurance and promise of eternal life. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the wonderful, wonderful blessings you poured into our heart today. Thank you, Lord. And as we begin this day, and for some of us, as we come to the end of the day, we pray, Lord, that you would just speak peace to our hearts. Fill us with hope that's enduring, that hope that never fades away, that hope that keeps us looking up to you and seeking to know you more and more. So thank you, Lord, for being so good to us today. Into your hands, Lord, we consecrate our life today. In Jesus' name, amen.